Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real-life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local,
dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Risk of posting unrelated content. Loss of trust. Residents expect official channels to be neutral, reliable, and authoritative. Mixing in political or commercial content along with jokes damages credibility. It also creates a problem with the algorithm system. It says it posts that are not specifically related to city services or city information may bury critical safety alerts if public notices if the account frequently posts unrelated, low-engagement content.
So, Mike Cusack, noted tech expert, self-described as a guy who doesn't really get social media, has figured out that the Facebook page run by the City of Milton Public Information Officer Bethany Anderson is no good. He's gotten loads of complaints from people, and Ed Spears has spent about 15 or 20 minutes explaining the social media strategy. The idea is that we can reach in cases of emergencies, but yes, it's humor. It's kind of like, you remember the PPD Facebook page, kind of the way it was run for several years when Steve Davis was doing it. You know, very engaging, very popular, lots of stuff. And then when they needed to push out something that was an emergency, it was there. Same basic principle. Let's create engagement. Let's create reach. Let's get into people's algorithms. And then when we need to talk about a missing kid or an E. coli alert, they get the message. It's a very, very smart, savvy strategy. Mike Cusack doesn't understand any of this, and when Ed Spears explained it to him, he went immediately into his diatribe over why having a fun social media page is a terrible idea. You know, you shouldn't have humor.
The risks of posting unrelated content. Loss of trust. Residents expect official channels to be neutral, reliable, and authoritative. Mixing in political or commercial content along with jokes damages credibility.
So he says he's got this expert opinion that he's disseminating, that he's reading from. This whole series is litany of reasons why you shouldn't be doing exactly the kind of Facebook page that everybody tries to do. And Bethany Anderson is incredibly talented at this. She's a great PIO. She came to the city a couple of years ago. She used to be in TV news in the background. She's super sweetie, too. Very, very funny woman. Anyway, so, you know, we get down toward the end of his diatribe, and he's laying out the very one-sided perspective on why it's bad for a government institution to have its Facebook page, its social media page, be effective. And they are, by all the metrics, effective, like reaching more than a million people in the last, what I think it's 90 days, if I remember right, 3 million people this year, you know, 26,000 followers, something like their Facebook page is more successful than ours. Okay, she has built it tremendously in the last couple of years. Okay, so this is the part to pay attention to. Again, he says he's reading from the expert opinion. He's self-described as, I'm not very good at social media.
But the issue is, it says personal opinion. Staff members should never use official accounts to share personal views, jokes, or commentary.
Councilman, can you provide the source of that? You said it's an expert.
Yeah, I can forward it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it come off the internet. AI.
It sounds like an opinion.
He came off AI. Okay.
Oh, are you making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
Then
no,
why
sir.
Are you laughing?
And again, if you could watch the video, you would see that Mike Cusack is just reading this thing produced for him by AI, which is amazing. You know, it's experts. It's the AI. And he's reading this thing, pretending that it's some authoritative, definitive set of perspectives. It's AI, and everybody's laughing at him, not just Ed Spears. Everybody's laughing at the fact that it's AI, and he treats it like it's some expert thing. Oh, are you making fun of me for my information?
You're making fun of where I get my information, Mr. Spears?
No, sir.
Yes!
Then why are you laughing?
Yes, we are laughing at you because this is absurd. It's wrong. You didn't digest any of the information we just presented to you. And now you're upset that people are laughing at you for your stupidity? You deserve it, sir. So, I mean, I wish somebody would. And he, like, came out of his, like, almost, you know, leaned forward, kind of almost stood up, grabbed the mic. Ah, are you laughing at me, Ed? Ed's the city manager who works for Mike Cusack. Anyway, so they go on. And immediately after that, Gavin Hawthorne, city councilman. I like Gavin a lot.
And furthermore, real quick, and I'll let you finish. You started off by saying that I don't get this social media anyway. So the fact that you made that point, and now that you have this crazy assumption that our social media is just out of whack is absurd, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's kind of a harsh response to him, sir. What he tried to point of order, one at a time.
Yeah, he's right. It's absurd. And, oh, it's really harsh. So it's deserved. And why is Heather standing up? Okay, I have a theory about this. But remember, Heather is Pitchfork Posse aligned with Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow. And as you listen to some of the rest of this as I play it, it sounds to me like, I don't want to allege that it was a plot, you know, because then you start to talk about, like, sunshine law violations, although that's happened in the past with at least, you know, Mike Cusack anyway, and allegedly with others. There's a weird thing going on. It seems like there's a problem between Heather and Bethany. I don't know. Heather has this habit of, you know, she's the kind of person that when she's really can't stand you, she's extra nice to you, you know, and like that kind of person. And there's a couple of parts here where she's like going overboard to be nice about Bethany. And I don't know. It feels off to me. I don't know what the background is, but I'm just suspicious. So when Gavin lashes out, rightly so, at Mike Cusack and explains how he's being really dumb, all of a sudden, you know, Heather's rushing in to Mike's defense. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a hit-and-run crash Highway 90 at Chemical Highway in Pace. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I think somehow I missed this one. It got out of order. This was actually the key thing where Gavin responded to Mike and the laughter business.
Oh, it sounds like an opinion, Councilman, is what it sounds like. Oh, it sounds like an opinion.
Okay.
Opinionated fact that you're trying to make a fact, but it sounds very opinionated after the manager just gave you a very robust and profound presentation on how well this is effective and how positive is it effective. And it's kind of funny to me, in my own personal opinion, that you're the only one on this dais that seems that it's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and then there was the comment about, you know, you led off by saying...
And furthermore, real quick, and I'll let you
this
finish.
This is one I already played,
You started off by saying that I don't get this social media anyway. So the fact that you made that point, and now that you have this crazy assumption that our social media is just out of whack is absurd, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's kind of a harsh response to him, sir. Point of order. One at a time.
It's not for the mayor to tell people who's harsh and who's not. And she always defends her friends and criticizes her. And it is very biased in the way she handles these meetings. But she goes on.
And I'm trying to point out to you, Councilman Hawthorne, that I heard him say that he was bringing this forward because he was hearing from people who look on our social media. So if there are people in Milton who don't like it, and someone said that they didn't like it either, then shouldn't we have a chance to explore what are the standards Mr. Spears expects.
And now she's trying to make it seem like this is all very legitimate, which I think they all got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and everybody's calling them on how dumb this is. And she's like, no, it's totally normal.
I mean, I get that the algorithm is being, is being strategically used by these posts, the Jimothy post and the bad translation, that meme. I understood that that's what she was doing. I didn't disagree with her use of strategy. But if our public is unhappy with how we're employing a strategy, then isn't it worth us trying to understand their input and whether we're being respectful?
I think you're trying to reach Mayor, because
yes.
not once did he ever bring up an example of an actual citizen raising a concern. I got this information off the internet. That's not, to me, that's not valid information from a concerned citizen that has a problem about these posts.
And why wouldn't he go to Bethany directly, or why wouldn't he go to Ed, or why wouldn't he have read the social media policy? Why is he bringing this up in a city council meeting, except if there's some ulterior political motive?
Now, if there was examples, oh, so-and-so, Ms. Smith, this, Mr. Allen, da-da-da-da, those are examples of what he's talking about, that there are citizens that are upset. But what you bring to the table is not examples of citizens being upset, and what you're trying to portray is not what he's portraying.
Yeah, so she's defending him by making it seem better than it really is, the lawyer in her.
No, I just didn't think that he was making
it up. A lot of people watching it, and I'm sorry, but
okay. I don't know. We're not dumb.
Because he doesn't know social media, and I'm 39 years old, I don't know social media like my kids do. However, I do know that the reach that this PIO is trying to reach, and the numbers don't lie, that the reach that she's making is reaching more positive than it is negative.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't figure out where this conversation is going to go.
I think you're right about that, Mr. Councilman Hawthorne. I guess where I'm coming from is I give him the benefit of the doubt. If he's telling us that people complained to him about it and that's why he put it on the agenda, then why does he have to prove
benefit
that?
Benefit of the doubt? Mayor. Okay, that's fine.
Do we have to prove?
No, that's fine. Okay. No, before I say anything else that may make him mad, I'm going to let him proceed.
I'm not mad at all.
City manager, yeah, you are mad. So.
I'm not mad. I played you the clip. Are you laughing at my sources? Are you making fun of me? How dare you make fun of me? I'm not mad.
I'm the city manager, yeah, you are mad. So go ahead and proceed.
No, it's because he was laughing at me, that's all.
Wait, but that... So you just explained that you were mad at him laughing at you. So you are mad. Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was I took it personal.
Exactly.
You are mad, so go ahead and proceed.
No, it's because he was laughing at me, that's all. I thought it was I took it personal. If it wasn't personal, I apologize for making that comment to you.
Members of the public can keep order or go outside. I can hear you.
Oh, man. And I mean... I know Ed is in a delicate situation. He always has to be the diplomat, the city manager who works for the city council. But Mike Cusack said incredibly dumb things. The appropriate response to dumb things is to laugh at him. And is that personal? Well, I mean, in the sense that it's you did something dumb, so get laughed at. Yeah.
What I am trying to explain to you, that I had people coming up to me. If you want me to get their names, I'll put their names in and send it to everybody. I'll send it to Molly and she can forward it to you.
I have guesses.
If that's what you guys want. But my point was that people were saying that the social media should be for city information. I'm not questioning the reaches and all this other stuff. I'm not.
I'm not questioning the reaches. Tell me, sir, that you don't understand social media when you describe it as the reaches. Just... reach. You don't. It's like that time in Inglourious Basterds when Christoph Waltz is talking to Brad Pitt and say, "That's a bingo." Is that what you say? You just say bingo. You know, it's not the reaches, it's the reach.
What I'm saying is, the people, I had seven people, okay?
Ooh, seven.
As I'm counting on my fingers now, remembering who they are, that said, "Hey, how come the city is posting stuff that doesn't seem to make sense? It's not city related." That's the question I have. And if the rest of the council thinks, hey, that's okay for that to happen, then so be it. But when I was doing some talking to some other people, that they think it should only be for for city information, right? Council meetings, water turnoffs. And see, if people this is just my thought process, I may be wrong, but if people see something about jokes and this and that that's not city related, they may not take a situation seriously, thinking it might be another joke being posted, right? That's my point.
Exactly the opposite of how it works in reality, sir.
Okay, I'm not saying all the reaches and all this other stuff and views and all stuff is all fine and dandy, but what are those views going to do, right? I mean, is it going to be people are viewing because they see it's funny stuff or not funny stuff?
Yes. Yes, that's literally how it works. We put our content in front of more people, and Facebook trusts us to be effective at reaching people that creates engagement. So when we post something that's serious, Facebook doesn't realize that's different from all the jokes, and they go ahead and share it to people's feeds, and it gets attention, and it builds momentum, and then we can help find a missing kid because of that. Yes, that's exactly how it works.
What I'm saying is a lot of people in our city don't are elderly, right? Like myself, right? We're older people, and
you don't say.
They don't understand even what some of the stuff meant, right? That was posted.
Right. It's not for you. But it works. And you could have, again, asked her, asked Ed, or listened to the presentation, which actually explained all of this.
And my only point is to bring it to everybody's attention that the feedback I got from some of the public is they didn't think jokes and non-related city stuff should be posted on Facebook. That was what I was bringing to the council. I'm not sitting there degrading the PIO. I'm not doing any of that. And that's not my point. Okay, so if you took it that way, I apologize, but that's not what it's meant.
Yeah, but you have one of the best PIOs for social media in this entire area. She's been incredibly effective at it. She could go work anywhere. With the track record of the Facebook page performance at City of Milton, Bethany Anderson, who is a delightful person, a sweetheart, incredibly good at her job. She could go work at, I mean, other cities, police departments would hire her in a moment and probably pay her better. Okay. And you're up here complaining that she's had a successful Facebook presence. And because you don't understand it, I feel like I have failed because nobody challenged him. He's unopposed. He's going to be reelected already. And I don't feel like I've been all that shy showing you who this person is. And it's just baffling. But, hey, it's the city of Milton, so, you know, it's entertaining. And as is the case here, you have a couple of very terrible politicians. You have two of them already got reelected unopposed. And you have one who's facing an opposition. Heather Lindsay is facing Howard Steele. And you have some great employees. Ed's great. Bethany's great. Sandy's great. Joe is great, public works director. Like Stephen Presta said, they have great employees in spite of the nuttiness that shows up in the city council meetings. And by the way, not all the city council is terrible. Some of them are quite good as well. The rest of the conversation yet to come. Oh, yeah. No, there's more. This is definitely a three-parter. Tune in at 8:10. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that hit-and-run crash, Highway 90 at Chemical Highway in Pace. No roadblock associated with that. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One amazing example of strength is Esther. She famously proclaimed, "If I perish, I perish," as she prepared to go before the king on behalf of her persecuted people. She had such conviction that she was willing to lay down her own life for the sake of others. Her passion and purpose were deeply rooted in God's plan. Being strong in the Lord means finding His purpose for your life and pursuing it no matter the cost. Knowing God's plan for you doesn't have to be mystical. Actually, it should be biblical. Find your purpose in tenaciously telling others of God's love for them through the message of Christ's death and resurrection, which atones for our sins. Christian person, give your life to the faithful proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
You don't need another money hack. You need a plan. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And you have no style or sense of fashion?
Well, I think that depends on what you're...
No, no.
That wasn't a question.
Somebody texted in, I think I'm beginning to understand how people complain about these baby boomers and their sense of entitlement. The thing was absolutely not meant for him, and he's wanting everything to fit what he expects the world to be or else not be good. Again, I think there's also a political agenda in here. I don't quite know what it is, but it seems to me, if I had to make a guess, that there's some kind of beef with the mayor and Bethany Anderson, which is, I mean, Bethany's one of those people, like, if you have a problem with her, the problem is with you. You know, like, I guarantee it. There are certain people where that's how I define things, because she's fantastic. And somebody else says he's just a curmudgeon, and he's wanting to say, get off my lawn. Oh, get off my lawn is coming. That's coming. Tune in next hour. Let's see. Steve is in for David this morning with a headline or two for us. Steve?
Well, crew members aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln look to be headed to Thailand before returning to San Diego. The ship will reportedly arrive to the port call there in Thailand in early September for an expected three-day visit there. The crew is expected a six-month deployment, but the aircraft carrier has since been at sea for about 270 days. Firefighters are starting to get a handle on the 15,000-acre Hawk Fire, which is burning near Reno. Yesterday afternoon, the Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District announced over 25% containment and reduced in evacuations in that area, and that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate that. Meanwhile, the Navy, Hung Kao, the acting Secretary of the Navy, SECNAV, has warned all sailors, active duty, reserve, and contractors to scrub their social media of anything connecting them to the military or the Navy because of what they warn is sort of adverse actors out there trying to get information about them. Interesting bit of advice from the Secretary of the Navy.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S.-Canada trade war boiling over this morning. President Trump stirring the pot on Truth Social, suggesting changing the name of Lake Ontario to Lake America. The administration is waiting for Canada to respond with its own tariffs on U.S. goods in this trade war. From this dispute to the war, now on Iran's economy.
Secretary Scott Bessent announced Operation Economic Outcast, a U.S. plan to isolate the Iranian regime. Among the new sanctions that were announced are secondary sanctions that are actually targeting a variety of different assets, including technology, gold, aviation, and shipping.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. Closing arguments could happen today in the Lindsay Clancy trial. The Massachusetts mom accused of killing her three little children. The judge turned down a mistrial request from the defense on Monday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning at 7:31 right now, 75 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Not all doctors are agreeing on Florida's plan to drop four school vaccine mandates. Family doctor Joel Rudman told Channel 3 the debate is not so simple.
I think you can find disagreement among physicians. I think you can find disagreements among, you know, health interest groups. Like, for example, hepatitis B. I get a lot of patients that come in, you know, new parents. And they say, look, we've just had a baby. How is a baby going to contract hepatitis B?
The rule is targeting hepatitis B, chickenpox, HIV, and pneumococcal vaccines, not polio or tetanus, which Rudman says will stay required. It'll also widen religious and personal belief exemptions for the four vaccines. The Department of Health has opened a 21-day public comment period before deciding whether to finalize that rule. New numbers from the Visit Florida agency show fewer Canadian tourists made their way to the Sunshine State this spring. About 721 Canadians visited Florida during the second quarter, down more than 4% from last year. That's also well below the 958,000 Canadian visitors counted in the first quarter. Nicole Stacy with Visit Pensacola told Channel 3 the Panhandle snowbird season stayed steady even as the numbers dipped elsewhere.
In our snowbird season, which is typically anywhere from November to March, we were still seeing consistent Canadian numbers. I won't say that they were driving upwards, but there was definitely some consistency in the visitors we were seeing.
Stacy points to inflation and rising airfares as likely factors. A Mississippi woman is dead after being found in her car on I-10 in Okaloosa County. Florida Highway Patrol says road rangers were checking on what looked like a disabled vehicle near mile marker 55 on Sunday morning when they found the 73-year-old Moss Point woman deceased in the driver's seat. Crestview Fire Department arrived within minutes and pronounced her dead. FHP's Bureau of Criminal Investigations and Intelligence is investigating, but says death does not appear to be criminal in nature. No further details have been released. If you thought grocery prices are high. Well, Chris Bryant says they're still rising.
Grocery prices continue to climb in the state. Florida's tied with Maryland and Oregon for the sixth highest average weekly grocery cost in the nation. While overall inflation has slowed, the price of groceries continue to rise at a steady pace. Now, that was despite the dip in inflation for July. Those prices still rising, just at a slower pace. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Heading into Thursday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms with a high near 89. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Steve. We have a vehicle crash at I-10 eastbound right near Pine Forest Road. Use caution in that area. Also have a hit-and-run crash, State Road 294, Chiefs Way in Pensacola. No roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Right now, temperatures are starting to rise with the sun out. 75 degrees in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze also, and 76 in Milton at 735. Next news is at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has announced on Truth Social that the U.S. will hit Canada with 50% tariffs on cars, trucks, automobile and steel imports starting in January. Ontario Premier Doug Ford referring to Trump.
This guy's a loser. He's going to be a loser. And simple as that.
The new duties come after Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney threatened retaliatory tariffs against the U.S., which are set to start on September 8th. Lego reported a 21% revenue bump for the first half of 2026 compared with the same period a year prior. The company reported record revenue of $6.5 billion and operating profit that was 22% higher year over year. CEO Niels Christensen told CNBC that the company is seeing strong sales at both ends of the pricing spectrum. Oil prices are lower by more than 2% as investors weigh the impact of the expanded U.S. sanctions against Iran. West Texas Intermediate at $82 a barrel, Brent at $89. Futures have risen this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Building-related illnesses. We get a lot of calls for this. Who do you know that is sick from the building they're in? Hi, this is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. Building-related illness symptoms include coughing, sneezing, headaches, itchy, watery eyes, and a host of breathing problems. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we have the solution. We can inspect, clean, and treat your AC system so you'll feel great. If you have dust issues or health problems that you feel are related to your home or office building, you should give us a call. We'll share the tips and secrets you need to know for a comfortable, healthy indoor environment. Gulf Coast Air Care is at 850-934-2768. Our service will extend the life of your air conditioner and your system will be much more energy efficient too. Let us help you by cleaning the most neglected system in your home or workplace. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com.
Edit, Sarah.
Serious cleaning, Gulf Coast Air Care.
Hi, I'm Chris Roney, owner of Ace Unlocks. I started Ace Unlocks in Pensacola almost 30 years ago with a straightforward idea. To be the locksmith you'd want to call in a crisis. We'll always answer your call. Quote, honest, upfront prices and do the job right. For locks and security rekeying at home or business to new key fobs, Ace Unlocks does it all. Licensed, bonded, insured. Available 24/7, 365. Ace Unlocks. Find out more, Google Ace Unlocks or visit aceunlocks.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The primary election is over.
If you're looking at the city of Pensacola mayor race, D.C. Reeves has 51% of the vote. Alicia Trawick has 21% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3 full team coverage with Chris and Austin provided up-to-the-minute local and state election results.
I'm so happy to welcome David Williams into the show. Hey, David, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining me in studio now, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've had a number of sort of unusual incidents in the last couple in the last week since you and I last talked. You had a suspicious item on Airway Drive. You had to close down the drive because, you know, a suspicious item means it looks like it could be an explosive and you have to investigate. What happened here? Walk me through this.
We had a gentleman that was walking around. He looks down into the ditch area over off of Airway and sees what looks to him like could be a pipe bomb, which, again, looked like a piece of PVC pipe with some duct tape around it. Looks like a pipe bomb.
And I saw the picture. That's what I thought.
It did look like a pipe bomb.
If I saw this laying around, I'm thinking, oh, that's a pipe bomb, you know?
They first sent it to me. I'm like, because normally it's like, oh, it's probably not a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
It's probably something else. But they sent me the picture as they're waiting for the fire marshal to get there, or the bomb squad to get there. And I'm like, ooh, maybe it is a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
That seems odd. Why would he do it there? And fortunately, it was not a pipe bomb. It was a geocaching type game.
Okay.
Thing where people,
so the thing was inside
things
there, and you're supposed to open it up and find it.
Yeah, we opened it up,
yeah,
or the bomb squad opened it up, and then we took a picture. I wanted them to put the picture out so people knew what others are doing.
Yeah.
In case you're into this type of game, please don't do this. Don't do it this way.
Make it look another way.
Make it look, or putting it outside. This is not a pipe bomb or something like that.
Although it may not work.
We still would be suspicious about it.
Well, obviously, obviously the Unabomber would put a "this is not a bomb" sign on the outside of his bombs.
Open up the mailbox. Yeah.
Right. But it turned out to be nothing, which is good.
Fortunately, it turned out to be nothing.
By the way, there's been a little bit of confusion over the explosives team response capability with canines. You know, Gulf Breeze has their new firearms dog at the high school. Santa Rosa has a couple of them. I think PPD is maybe getting two. They had one that retired. Do you guys have gunpowder sniffing dogs?
We have electronic sniffing dogs.
Electronics only. Okay. Okay.
Now, we have in the past.
Right. But people think, well, why can't they sniff everything? Well, you have to train them for certain things. And, you know, one thing might interfere with other things. And, you know, tracking dogs are different than drug dogs are different than, you know, electronics dogs, right?
That's correct. But even if we had had a dog, even if it had alerted on this, you know, potential pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Well, you still got to call the bomb squad, right?
Okay.
And we already separated. I mean, you're not going to let the dog run around with this thing.
In his mouth or nothing.
You
know, yeah.
You're not going to throw it. You're not going to play catch with it.
You know, just briefly, because we're talking about canines, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, they had a canine that lost his front leg after being shot during a confrontation with somebody who was had opened fire on deputies. And just, it's a reminder that the canines, you send them in because it's dangerous for a human, and they do the risky thing better than a human can do, and they take the risk away from your human deputies, right? And that puts them at risk.
There are two canines on our memorial wall. Two canines lost their life in service to our community.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm evaluating a third canine. I have to go back historically. There was a canine injured during a traffic crash, and I'm evaluating. I'm trying to figure
whether
out why
fits.
They didn't add that dog later on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, there may be more to the story because it happened decades
on duty,
ago.
Yeah.
It happened a long time ago. But anyways, my point is these dogs do a great job. And, you know, a lot of times you'll be out in a, you know, you're clearing a building that's got a door open or something late at night, and they send a canine in there, you know. And if this individual is violent, then who takes the brunt of it? That's that canine first.
Right.
In that case, you know, have you seen the pictures of him hobbling up and down? He don't know anything different.
Yeah.
But
they figure it out. They just work.
Good
they live
them.
Their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them.
But still, it's a good reminder of the danger that how many canines do you have in ECSO?
Yeah, 14.
Okay, all right. And there, you said you got one that's in electronics. Most of the rest of them, I assume, are drug dogs and tracking dogs. And
dual-purpose dogs.
Okay,
and then we have a couple that are there. Well, we have one now that's a tracking dog.
And then you work with the county. The county has dogs too. Their sniffing team that they train.
The county
road
prison
road
does a really good job. They we'd use
the
them
beagles and the bloodhound
quite
right?
a bit. Yeah, they do a really good job, and they're always very helpful. You know, and I can't imagine they have very many escapes, you know, like to be, but they
to
practice
justify,
a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And they have a group of them, and I'm assuming they're all hunters and they know what they're doing. But those dogs up there are amazing.
I remember years ago watching them perform, demonstrate, and I was like, oh, okay. And it was just funny to watch, like, the seven beagles, I think it was, and the one and bloodhound all running together, because they're so different sizes.
Anyway. In fact, we had a situation up off of Softfield Road where an individual shot at our deputies, and then we shot back at him. I think we injured him, and we called them to help us out because it's a wooded area. And this guy had a rifle. I mean, but those dogs obviously dogs didn't know.
Yeah.
We don't brief the dogs on exactly what caliber weapon they have. So they went and they ultimately found him, and then he gave up because the dogs were coming.
The child neglect case, four people, you have been working on this case. Your deputies have been working on this case a lot. This is where the two guardians were charged with child neglect. Then you had a daycare facility worker was charged with failing to report. And then you also had a caseworker charged with failing to report, as I recall. And now the charges have been dropped against the caseworker, and you expressed your frustration over this. What's going on here?
That's just it. I am absolutely frustrated that I believe that the system has let these kids down. I readily admit I am not a lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. And our job is to make the cases, and then there's a prosecutorial phase, which is through the state attorney's office. However, I believe that the citizens of Escambia County elected me to hold these people accountable, and I feel like that's what we did. I think that there was a situation where I had hoped that it would be brought to trial, and it was not. There was not depositions made. I can tell you that in this particular case...
Do we know why? Like, what was the reason for the charges being dismissed?
No one's called me, and that's, really? That adds to my frustration. I just think I have seen the pictures of the abuse that these kids took, and I know that there's a lot of evidence here, right? There's a lot of probable cause here, and I will tell you that even though I don't employ lawyers, I do have a general counsel.
Yeah.
I will tell you that I do employ veteran law enforcement officers, veteran investigators, veteran supervisors. I myself have been involved in or party to or knowledge of thousands of cases, right? So we know probable cause, and we've taken many of these cases to trial, and we also have a pretty good understanding. Many of our investigators have probably more trial hours, testifying than some attorneys do, than many attorneys do. And I just think that if you're not going to take a case like this to trial, then we're doing a disservice. Someone's got to stand up. Someone's got to speak up for the kids in this case.
Well, they haven't called you, but do you know what was the issue even? What was the... Because what I want to know is, well, how do we do this differently in the future so we don't have this problem again?
Yeah, look, I don't believe it for a second that it is a lack of probable cause. It was a very high probable cause. It was a judge signed it.
Okay.
I think there was an issue, since no one's talked to me, I can only surmise that it was there was no case law, as I understand, because this is a worker. It's a caseworker, and we charged them with failure to report and culpable negligence.
Okay.
The failure to report, here's the thing. If you're culpably negligent, then you may not have seen it or you ignored it. We think they ignored it. We think both of these things happened. However, I know that on one occasion, I will tell you that there was a FaceTime with a child that had his face painted around the eye area, and it was according to the suspects, it was due to a 3-day-old carnival. They put face paint on 3 days ago with a carnival.
They couldn't get it off
sense.
Okay.
I don't know that it even tried. But,
yeah.
But and then there's bruising on the fingers, and the family member that was talking to this child on that video
FaceTime,
call
was
saying, hey, the child normally speaks fine, but it was garbled. There was something wrong with his mouth. And I can tell you that some of the pictures I've seen, that would correspond with some facial injuries.
Okay.
Right? And I know that caseworker was there because her arm is in that photograph. She was there. And I'll tell you one more case in which she went to the house and the kids were all wrapped up in blankets, and she never bothered to pull the blankets, never bothered to wake the child up. They checked for, according to the report, checked for reflex. All this is public record, by the way. And then she left. Well, later on, we made an arrest and we did a subpoena on the phone, and we found out on that day, and this is all in the report,
sure.
On that day, there was a picture of some of the injuries on the child and some Snapchat, or not Snapchat, but ChatGPT type of questions about how to explain injuries and stuff. And we knew that was the same day that the caseworker went there. So these are two cases, and had I believe the caseworker done their job, then the abuse, at least at that point, would have stopped.
Subsequent abuse wouldn't have happened.
Unfortunately, yeah. They did not, and the abuse continued. I've seen pictures of two of these children, and I it's hard to get that out of my mind. And
yeah.
To know that someone is going to get away with this, it makes it all the more difficult to comprehend.
I understand. Take a quick break. We got PJ with traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, 9 Mile Road at Navy Federal Way. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound right near Pine Forest. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, we had, a 16-year-old turned himself in for the Showalter Park incident where you had the, you know, come fight me, turned into a shooting, turned into a homicide, right?
A homicide and an attempted homicide. Another individual was shot in the leg. Yes, our investigators, again, worked tirelessly day after day, and ultimately we had a suspect from the beginning. But as we talked about, we have to make sure that we do a thorough investigation, make sure we have the probable cause, and make sure that we have enough that we think that they can be prosecuted with. And in this particular case, ultimately we have a warrant. We had a warrant for him. He's 16. He turned 17 in September. The decision to try them as an adult is going to be up to the state attorney's office. But we think we got the right guy, and he's now in jail.
And, you know, I know one of the things I had asked originally about this case is surely there's video. I mean, I assume all the people who were there were recording this. Have you found that? Can you comment on that?
We're still looking for some things. We're obviously asking if people had video. You know, I've seen some videos of other areas and other places where every time someone fights in every school and every street corner, there's someone's videotaping it.
Absolutely.
So they can be a star and put it on their social media platform. We don't have a video of the event.
Okay.
At least not yet. We have some videos of some other areas.
Okay.
We know who was there. With the assistance of the people up there around the central area and some license plate reader information, we know who was there. We can kind of zero in, and that's why we were able to ascertain exactly who did this.
I think you were not even yet chief of police in Pensacola when the Billings murders happened, but I don't know if you're familiar with the story where one of the convicted has now recanted his testimony against another co-conspirator. And he's facing a perjury charge for the original testimony, but he says, you know, religious conversion, I have to clean my conscience. This other person was not involved. State attorney has questioned him. I don't know if you have any thoughts about this. You're now the sheriff of Escambia County, but you certainly were not the sheriff at the time. And I don't know if you have an opinion or perspective on any of that.
I'm a skeptic by nature, right?
Sure.
I'd have to really, and I wasn't part of this conversation that
right.
I guess you said the state attorney's office had with him. I really have anything. I wasn't involved in the case, as you know. I don't know all the nuances. I'm not sure how much his testimony led to
right.
another conviction.
Right. And there was a second person who claimed it too, so it's not that it was only him. Yeah,
right.
My understanding.
I think you do have to evaluate it. I think you have to look at it. I think that people sometimes lie,
mm-hmm.
and especially to help themselves. And so while I'm a skeptic, I certainly would evaluate the statement and the reasonableness of it being, is it reasonable to believe that it's true, were they in a position where they would have had that information. And then I guess you have to determine whether to retry them or
yeah.
or cut their losses.
And he's either lying then or lying now. So he's definitely lying. It's just a question of which one is the lie for sure. You graduated some deputies yesterday.
We did. You know, we have our own training academy, which is number one in the state for
nice.
We don't just say that.
Number one
we
by have, like number by or number
the,
one
the
by like
test
a rank?
Scores.
Okay.
Test scores.
All right. Good.
Every time you finish, you go through the hours and then you have to go through a state certified certification test and testing. And our numbers over the last couple of years have proven that we were the top scorers. On the state test. We don't give the state test, so it's not like we give our own test. It's not a take-home test. So it's legit, right? It's a good test. And we have a number one training academy, and we're able to be flexible enough to do a training academy when we need it. And we graduated 11 more last night. And it's a good thing because we have what we call a swearing in, and we have a badge pinning ceremony, which someone would come and pin a badge. Someone that means a lot to
yeah,
them,
yeah.
loved one, or someone that has an influence on their, a great impact in their life. They would come and they would pin the badge, and it's a good ceremony, good chance for them to kind of start their law enforcement career.
And just because it's the kind of thing people might have paid attention to over time, but have not kept up with, maybe there was a time when you were struggling to find deputies. You're now turning people away, you are able to take only the very top, very best, highest qualifiers, best scores. You can be selective because everybody wants to be an Escambia County Sheriff's Deputy.
You said it, but that's all true.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I don't know if you've been paying attention much to the changes in the law regarding things like suppressors. You know, the big beautiful bill zeroed out the $200 fee, and then the lawsuit that came from the Gun Owners of America said, there's a gun manufacturer as well. Palmetto State, I think, is
Palmetto
the one.
State also.
Yeah, and basically they sued and said, look, if you don't have to pay the fee, then there's no reason to have the paperwork. It's a tax, but if there's no tax, there's no paperwork. People should not have to even have the paperwork, which now means that people are able to buy, if they're part of that lawsuit, they're able to buy suppressors without even doing the application. Theoretically, the same reasoning could be applied to automatic weapons, short barrel rifles, you know, things that are currently at various levels of prohibition or regulation. Has it affected us at all, Escambia County, having the availability of suppressors? What do you think?
I have not heard a single word. The only thing that I've heard is the joy there is that individuals can have suppressors, or they think that things are changing, they have suppressors,
right,
and potentially short barrel rifles and that sort of thing. I'm a fan of it. I've always wondered why suppressors, were illegal. Why mm-hmm. you had to pay such money? Why you had to? It was so difficult to get them. And the short barrel rifle part. I know when I was on a SWAT team, we were able to get the short barrel rifles. Even our shotguns were a little shorter. And I'm thinking, if it's good enough for us, why is it not good enough for an individual to protect themselves in their own home? With regards to suppressors, first of all, they look kind of cool. They sound kind of cool, and it protects your ears.
Right.
I just don't understand. And maybe I'm one of those, that think every gun should be legal. I am one of those that do not believe that guns kill people. I think people kill people, and I want to make sure that our deputies have the right weapons as well.
I loved your expression that if it's good enough for you to use because it's tactically beneficial, why wouldn't it be good enough for a homeowner to use legally in their own home or in self-defense? And that's I love that perspective. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash 9 Mile Road at Navy Federal Way. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash Nichols Lake Road at State Road 87 in Milton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
The future of cornhole is here. From casual backyard games to professional ACL tournaments, the Cornhole app is your all-in-one hub for the game you love. Keep score, track stats, follow your favorite players, and manage leagues and tournaments with powerful event tools. Whether you're a brand new player or an ACL pro, the Cornhole app connects you to the entire cornhole community. Download the Cornhole app today.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
So many social engagements, so little time.
Good morning, 7:58 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Obviously, picking a good realtor is something that has significant or can have significant financial consequences for you. Thousands of dollars are at stake. Your peace of mind over the time while you're waiting for your home to sell or to buy and to get to closing and to make sure that goes all the way through. And, you know, if it doesn't work out right, that can be stressful. So, you know, pick a realtor wisely. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sold 206 homes last year for a week. That's a lot of team experience. That's a lot of up-to-date market knowledge about, you know, what $500,000 homes are doing in Gulf Breeze versus $500,000 in Cantonment versus $500,000 in Milton versus $800,000 here or $300,000 there. The point is, all of these different markets take a lot of knowledge, and the more transactions you have, especially if they're successful ones, the more knowledge and wisdom you bring to bear on each individual next transaction. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they can help you. 786-3996. Steve is in for David Wayne this morning with our headlines. Steve?
Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants a federal judge to block an effort by Minnesota to force the extradition of an ICE officer. Christian Castro was arrested in Cameron County May 29th on a warrant issued by Minnesota court in connection with the shooting of a Venezuelan man. People awaiting extradition in Texas can't be held longer than 90 days, which is coming up on Thursday. Minnesota is seeking a court order to hold him beyond Thursday to keep him from possibly fleeing, and that's what's happening.
I swear I need a flowchart to follow all of the elements of that report.
Yeah.
I just
tried to condense it down.
No, so many facts, so many relationships. Thank you so much, Steve.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.